Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Vacation, so this might be a little dense this morning. We had, you know, where we were, there were poolside cabanas that we would get up early in the morning and make sure we got our cabanas, and it was eight of us down here. And I'm explaining to one of the people who's with us what I was reading, because I did a lot of reading down there, and this concept was formulating in my mind, and he was going, and then he turned to God, bring me a margarita, you know, with a double shot. So I can keep listening to this. this is just it's not really part of the talk, but it leads into the talk, and it's something I read late last night. It says, when the universe as a whole seeks to know itself through the medium of the human mind, some aspects of the universe must remain unknown. Have no idea what that means, right? All right, as we go through the talk, we'll expand on that. But this is a series that's going to be on the 23rd Psalm. It's called a Psalm of Healing. And I'm going to start out by reading the 23rd Psalm to establish in our minds a basis for this lesson. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay. So the reason for starting out with this prayer thought is because we want to learn how to use this particular psalm as a prayer to remove the resistance in our heart and mind that's preventing us from experiencing the transformative healing that leads to enlightenment. Okay. I was sharing some of these ideas with Pam, and she was saying, can we ever do this in this lifetime? But the key here is for us to begin to learn what our total potential is, whether we feel we can get to that potential in this lifetime or not, okay? So the 23rd Psalm is another example of biblical scripture that was carefully crafted for a specific purpose. And that purpose is to help us awaken and become aware of the creative healing power that lies waiting within us. So our practice has been to petition God to fulfill our needs. Not what we typically do, okay? Not understanding that what we're asking for already exists within us as our divine potential. We pray for things to unfold, not understanding that there is nothing to unfold. There is only the progression of our awareness of our oneness with God. The progression of our awareness of our oneness with God. So that's the process we're really going through. Now, in Ken Wilber's book, and that's one of the books I was reading called The Spectrum of Consciousness. And how many people have heard of Ken Wilber? Ken Wilber is considered the Albert Einstein of the field of psychology. Yeah, very brilliant, brilliant writer. Very dense writer, but very brilliant writer. And those who, like I said, who write about him said they consider him the Albert Einstein of psychology. And so he says, spectrum delineates the major levels or structures of consciousness we pass through as we ascend in our awareness of our oneness in God. All right. And in this book, he's talking about, because consciousness is a spectrum, that when you have people like this researcher studying here and saying, this is the truth. And this researcher studying here says, no, this is the truth. Well, he says, both of them are studying the truth, but they're just at different levels of the spectrum. And so there's no need to fight about who's right. It's just you're looking at it from different places. Does that make sense? All right? So, you know, and it's important that we come to understand that higher levels of consciousness are not gained through intellectual prowess. All right? But rather, one evolves from lower levels to higher levels of consciousness by increasing one's capacity to love. All right? So we read from the Revealing Word that love is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything within it. So when there's things that we feel we need to happen in our lives, what we're really wanting is for the universe to work in concert to bring about the healing or fulfillment that of the things we believe we need or want. Okay, so we as a congregation want a new spiritual home. Okay, so it's through the collective consciousness that we get the universe to work in concert to begin to bring together the places and things that are, so we can do that. So the universe has already worked to bring about the bank. You get what I'm saying? That was a huge piece of it. So that by holding that consciousness, the universe is still working to in concert to bring about the fulfillment of the thing we say we want. Okay. So we already understand that that there are only two kinds of mindsets, love and fear. Everything falls up under that, all right? It's extremely important to realize that fear will bind the forces of the universe, but it will not be the harmony that we're hoping for. Everybody hear what I just said? Okay? You want to be a beacon of love so that no matter what is occurring in your life, you will remain in a mindset that will bind and join in divine harmony the forces of the universe that will provide what you want or need. So if you are operating in fear, the universe is still going to respond to that, but you're not going to like what happens, all right? So the key is that you always want to come from the position of love. So to be a beacon of love, you say, what does it look like to be a beacon of love? Because, you know, you hear that, the ego says, okay, I need to go out and do loving things for everybody. And yes, that's true. But let's go to Proverbs 3, 5 through 9 to get an understanding of what that looks like. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything that you do and everywhere that you go. God is the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own, with everything you are. Give God your first and your best. That's what it means to live in the beams of love, all right? So British poet and artist William Blake said, "We are on earth but for a little space of time that we may learn how to become beacons of love." Okay? Prayer is a tool that was given to us to discover and learn how to stand within the healing presence of the beams of love that already exist within us. However, for the most part, without really knowing it, we typically choose to stand outside of the beams of love, petitioning God to do for us what we inherently have spiritually within us to do for ourselves. So why is this? Why do we typically choose to stand outside of the beams of love while understanding that if I could just come from love and stand in those beams, the things that I would want would come to me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all those other things will come to you. So this is what Thomas Merton says about why we have a tendency to stand outside of the beams of love. And you know what I mean by standing outside of beams of love, right? Stuff happens that knocks us off our center. Okay, this is what he says. We must compel ourselves to acknowledge our contrived hiding places. He said, this may seem like a negative task to try to strip ourselves of our cloaks of evasion, but how else is one to describe genuine prayer? Prayer, if it is real, is where we are ready to acknowledge our readiness to be surprised, yes, even astonished, by what can occur when we commit ourselves to stand in God's beams of love. That's powerful. So our contrived hiding places are, you know, at one level we'll say one thing, but there's that other side of us that's saying something else, all right? Almost as if we're trying to hide from God this little stuff that we want to keep muddling around in, okay? So prayer is not about asking God for the effect, the thing itself we feel that would make our life better. Prayer is asking God to heal the cause, the thought dynamic within us that has us believing that something is not right or something is missing. Do I need to say that again, or you got that? Okay, so our thought about prayer must be a conscious acknowledgement of our willingness to be healed and changed at the depth of our being. And what we're striving to be healed of is our resistance to being transformed from ego to spirit. What is called by a lot of mystics as awakening. Okay? So willingness to be changed must be at the core of our prayer, and we can at least understand and mentally entertain the idea of being willing to being changed, right? We can say, well, I can think about being willing to be changed. But there's a difference between thinking about being willing to be changed and really being willing to be changed, okay? And the thing we want to be willing to be changed of is to strip ourselves of our cloaks of evasion, which Thomas Merton used to describe how we evade standing naked and vulnerable in God's transformative healing energy, okay? So how do we do this? How do we strip ourselves of our cloaks of evasion? Well, one way is to awaken or hasten our progression of awareness is to pick a scriptural work and work with it until we're able to comprehend its spiritual healing power. So for the purpose of this, we're using the 23rd Psalm, okay? So each of us have within us, in the essence of our being, the divine potential for spiritual healing from any challenge or difficulty in our lives. It already exists within us, okay? However, in our misguided effort to live our lives on our own without the help of God, we have managed to fall asleep to our own divine nature. And that's where we are right now. Now, just to be fair to us, until we begin studying truth or really understanding the dynamics of the deeper meaning in the Bible, we didn't understand the fact that we already had this within us. But we were told we had to go outside of us to have it fixed, right? Okay? And at the level that we were, it was right. We needed to go outside of us to have it fixed. In Ken Wilber's book, he talks about Western philosophy versus Eastern philosophy. Western philosophy basically says you need to go to the therapist and blah, 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 and all those different things. Eastern philosophy says Western philosophy says you need to fix the ego. Eastern philosophy says that you need to transcend the ego. But he said that Western philosophy is needed to get the ego to a point of strength where it can allow itself to transcend. That's deep, isn't it? All right? And so that's sort of the idea we're working with. How do I get to this place where I can allow myself to transcend where I am and move to a higher level? So when we choose to see truth as the work to which we dedicate our lives, we begin to find that truth is not out there, rather again, truth is within us. This guides us to move from a position of merely believing in God to developing a partnership with the universe in everyone and everything and every situation that happens within it. Because see, right now we're in opposition to a lot of things that happen. Am I right? Turn on the news or whatever, you got, oh no, that's terrible. Right? We move into opposition. And we have unjustifiable opposition in our own mind. Okay? So this perspective helps us to realize that nothing, when we begin to move into this consciousness of truly beginning to work at being at one with everything, it gets us to a place where we realize that nothing is really opposing us. Instead, everything and everyone is seeking to partner with us to help us to realize and discover a higher level of ourselves. Everything that happens in our lives is seeking to partner with us to help us discover a greater potential of ourselves. All right? So we move from passive believers to active seekers with an understanding that what we're seeking is a progressive awareness of the truth about ourselves and that everyone and everything comes into our lives to help us accomplish that spiritual mission. Whether the person runs their car into yours or whatever the case might be, all that's being done here is giving you an opportunity to move to a higher level of consciousness, to not allow yourself to shift out of the beams of love, but stay in the beams of love. Not be knocked off your center, but stay in your center. Is that okay? All right, so by meditating on a scripture, like the 23rd Psalm, line by line, we move deeper and deeper or higher and higher into the holy ground of our minds, that place where we begin to realize that no one and nothing is opposing us. Whenever you are feeling there are situations or people out there that are trying to oppose you, it is a clear indication that you're operating from a lower state of consciousness. And again, it's not to beat yourself up about it. It's just to say, oh, I recognize where I am right now. Because if you recognize where you are, you can decide, I'm going to stay here until I finish this, or I can let myself rise to a higher level, okay? So our spiritual work, and this, I have this starred, so I want you to stay with me on this. You ever hear the statement by the Buddha, if you're walking down the road and you come across a Buddha, kill him? Have you ever heard that? Okay, let me explain that. So our spiritual work is to unfold into that place in consciousness where we realize everything that happens is designed to help us awaken to our true selves, which is spirit, okay? Thus, the paradox of our self and spirit. Now, to explain this, there's a paradoxical Zen saying. If there is any discipline towards reaching spirit, then the completion of that discipline means a destruction of spirit. That's the one that caused the guy to say, give me another margarita. Okay? Meaning, when you truly awaken, you finally discover that what you were seeking is yourself, which is spirit. We are spirit seeking spirit, when finally realized, destroys the idea that there was something apart from us. So when Buddha said, if you're walking down the street and you come across a Buddha, kill the Buddha, because that's not really the Buddha. You are the Buddha. But you don't know you're the Buddha, so you find other symbols and idols, and that becomes your God, your Buddha, your spirit. And that's written by Ken Wilber, who is a psychologist. Isn't that powerful? Okay. So, you know, I believe that true seekers, at the level that we are right now, we are moving towards holy ground, that place within us that helps us to let go of the illusion, okay? And again, that idea that this is all an illusion is the basis of quantum physics. We are creating and holding this dynamic, okay? So because we have not arrived yet, though, at, you know, intellectually we're saying that this is an illusion. Intellectually we're saying I am spirit. But we really have not arrived at that place. It's the ego is claiming it because it sounds good to the ego. Am I right? Okay. So because we have not arrived there, there's all kinds of tenuous things going on in our lives, all right? And we still are in that place where we are in opposition to people in certain situations. You know, it's sort of like I have some concept of what it means to be spiritual, but I'm just not there yet. And basically for us, it's a concept, okay? We try to do things that make it look like we're spiritual, but we really are not in that space yet, okay? So holy ground is that place in consciousness where you're able to mentally and emotionally take hold of the divine idea and let go of all limitations that keep you from surrendering to the truth that you are truly spirit. And when you finally awake like Buddha and Jesus and say, I am awake, Jesus said what? I and the Father are one. Where I is God and the Father is God. So Jesus was never referring to his personality. The truth of me, which is God, and the Father, which is God, are all the same thing. But I've been operating on the illusion, or what they call it, dualism. Dualism is this you and this me. Okay? Oneness is, there is, Jesus is mathematics, 1 + 1 = 1. Okay? So, our goal is to get to higher ground. Okay? But to do this, we need a guide. The opening line of the 23rd Psalm tells us where our guide is. It says, say it with me, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's our guide, all right? This is a statement of truth. It is a divine idea, the truth of which, when embraced, can have a profound impact on your life. Now, from the book, A Psalm of Healing, the author says this, these mortal words that begin this psalm leave no room for doubt. Such a declaration allows not even a shadow of the thought that God may not be my shepherd. Sometimes such a positive spiritual statement is called an affirmation. But an affirmation implies that there could be a denial. Who just heard me? All right? If a statement has to be affirmed, then the unspoken message hints that there's an opposite against which that affirmation is needed. The statement, the Lord is my shepherd, offers an acknowledgement or a recognition of the truth, and it has no opposite. Therefore, it is a statement of truth rather than an affirmation. That's powerful, because we all know about affirmations and denials, right? All right, now, let's acknowledge that the benefit of an affirmation is its power to keep the negative attributes of an error thought from having any control over it. So that's why we use affirmations, okay? Now, in the process of affirmation and denial, we affirm the truth, the positive, and we deny the error, the negative. The truth being that which is of God, that which is of love, and the error being that which is based on fear. Okay, so we might affirm health in our body and deny sickness. This is a reconditioning of our mind to reverse its belief system for the betterment of our life. So through the process of affirmation and denial, we can change the reality of our mind, our body, and our affairs. So the affirmation denial process changes what was true for us. So we're not denying that that's a good process to work with. Okay. However, it's important to understand that what is of God is absolute truth. Absolute means the existence is completely, entirely, totally, and perfectly as indicated. So the love that God is, the love demonstrated by Jesus, is absolute and unconditional. There is no opposite to it or lack of it anywhere, anytime in the universe. There can be no absence of the awareness of God's love. There can be an absence of the awareness of God's love, but there cannot be an absence of the truth of God's love. So I cannot know that God's love is anywhere, everywhere, all the time, all right? But that doesn't change the truth that it is anywhere, all the way, all at the same time. That's why God is present as a presence, meaning omnipresent, everywhere present, all at the same time, okay? Now, I might need the affirmation denial process to get me to that state of mind, but I'm not making it true because I'm affirming it to be true. It's true because it's true. Is that make sense? Okay. So we can apply the practice of affirmation and denial to a statement of truth for our own mental, emotional, psychological exercise, but this does not change the reality that what is true is true. So the statement of truth, the Lord is my shepherd, declares that there is a divine power that protects, guides, and watches over me. The Lord is the activity of the spiritual I am, which acts as a ruling consciousness of each one of us when we allow it. So right now, the ego believes it is the Lord. You with me? The ego believes it is the Lord, but it is not the Lord. All right? There's a true Lord that is my shepherd. It's what you hear when you've gotten yourself in a situation where all the things the ego is saying to you, you just can't deal with anymore. And you go into that unconscious place of silence. Who've had that experience? You know, you weren't purposely sitting down saying, let me meditate on this. It's just that you couldn't deal with it anymore. And all of a sudden, something else comes into your mind that is completely different from what you were mulling over. All right? That's the true Lord. It's when you can let go and let God. Okay? So we allow it by surrendering to it, by letting go of our own thinking, by being willing, so that the true self of each of us, the Lord or our spiritual I am, can protect us from negative, false thinking and guide us through the activity of our lives. The Lord God in Scripture is the Christ, which is our divine consciousness, the creative, protecting, guiding, watching, oh power. It is that within us that gives us the capacity to allow to happen in our lives that which we have been petitioning God to do for us. So a lot of times we're asking God for stuff, but we're not allowing it to happen. Okay? So we want to get to the place where we don't just not just ask, because it's okay to ask, but then you have to allow it to happen. Something in you has to be changed that believes that you can't have it. Or it can't be done, okay? And there's lots of stuff that we are experiencing where we sometimes feel it just can't be done. Even though I'm asking God, I know with God what? All things are possible. But there's something in me that says, oh, I don't know about this. Okay? So the statement of truth, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I am whole and complete, and I cannot want, all right? That which we need or want is ours to have by just opening our spiritual eyes and to see and opening our spiritual ears to hear. And that's why Jesus said, let those who have ears to hear listen, okay? So remember, in truth, nothing is unfolding. There is only the progression of awareness that I and the Father are one. And even if you do not fully understand how this type of thinking will change the affairs in your life, the mere fact that you keep your mind fixed and focused on the truth and not the error will change your problem consciousness into solution consciousness. So that means, let's say stuff is going on in your life and you just don't know how to figure it out. You just turn to the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You stay fixed on that. Somebody says to you, what are you going to do about it? Right now, all I'm going to do is hold to the thought that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. You get how it works? Okay. And so we each, must come to the understanding that the infinite abundance has no way of helping us until we have the conscious realization of our oneness with God. But this comes with time and practice and patience. And the number one thing is being patient with yourself. Okay? So I'm going to end with this poem, a quote from the poet Kathleen Norris. How many people heard of Kathleen Norris? Nobody. Wow. Okay. Well, this is what she says, explaining the true purpose of prayer. She says this: prayer is not asking for what you think you want, but asking to be changed in ways that you cannot imagine. Amen. Amen.